Turn in your Bible to Ephesians. We're going to get right into the Word, and then I want to share my testimony with you a little bit before the end of the service is out. But go to Ephesians chapter 4. The Lord wants me to share this with you. And we had a wonderful day yesterday. It was just so awesome to be in the our group went in Walmart, started out in Walmart, then we went to a ShopRite, and then we went to a park, and it's just so beautiful, just loving on people. Evangelism is not an event, it's a lifestyle. Every day, like I told everyone this weekend, you should wake up. Every day you should wake up and say, Jesus, use me to be the miracle in someone's life. And then as you're going about your day, see, we get so caught up in our own stuff. You know, we all have stuff we're dealing with. We all do. But we have to look at why we're here. God has a purpose for each one of us. We are all different ages, different maybe races, different financial status. We live in different areas of the city or maybe different areas of the nation. And God has placed us exactly where we're at to reach everyone around us. You know, when I first started realizing that I was called to be an evangelist, I thought I was going to have to be like Billy Graham or Oral Roberts or Kenneth Copeland and save the world. And that burden was on me. Lord, how can I do this? How can, you know, people aren't coming like they did with Billy Graham. And the Lord corrected me. He said, Riley, I've called you to be Riley Stevenson and save the world you're in. That day, see, today I'm in Nanuet, New York, right? So wherever I go today, that's who I'm going to save. Amen? So we have to take that pressure off of us. But I want to share this with you. Go to Ephesians 4, verse 11. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. And it says there, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work to build up the church, the body of Christ. See, it was my responsibility this weekend is to equip you to do the work. I taught you Friday night. I trained you. We got mobilized, and now you're ready to do the work. Amen? Did you know it's not your pastor's job to fill these empty pews? Do you know that? It's not your pastor's job. Hey, pastor, come pray for my grandma. She's in the hospital. You go pray for her. Amen? They didn't tell me to say this. This is scriptural. I used to... People, this one guy, I was working at EMIC, and this is before I got on staff. I used to volunteer, and I want to let y'all know, all of these, the lists that they're asking for help, that the church needs help, you need to just jump in there. Well, I'm not called to children's ministry. Well, or I'm not called to do this. Well, you're called to help the church to fulfill their vision. Amen? I volunteered for 8 years with my church before I got on staff. And I can tell y'all standing here right now, I am still in the office in the Ministry of Helps for Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I'm not here representing Riley Stevenson. I am in the Ministry of Helps fulfilling God's calling on Kenneth Copeland. And so you should jump in there. Wherever the church needs help, jump in there. The reason I got started with outreach is because I was helping the pastors, and I met a lady that was in the prison ministry. She said, Riley, we need help in the prison ministry. I never thought I'd ever go to a prison or a halfway house. I knew I was called to be a pastor, but honestly, I thought all pastors did soul winning. I thought everyone that was a minister, you had minister by your name, led people to Jesus. But that wasn't the case. I had people tell me, Riley, you've got the gift of evangelism. Have y'all heard that before? Riley, you've got the gift of evangelism. Well, did you know that's not a gift? Did you know that? Because we just read here, Christ gave gifts. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, I can tell you, standing here this morning, I'm standing in the office of an evangelist. Amen? But when I'm flying to meet my family today, sitting on that plane, I'm Riley the believer. Amen? And I, in my responsibility is to do what God's called us to do. And then Pastor Red in Mark 16, he says, go into all the world, preach the good news. I may be sitting on that plane here in a few hours, and the Lord say, I want to minister to this person. I won't just automatically put my earbuds in and start acting like I'm listening to music. Or get on the subway and put a headphones on because I don't want to talk to anybody. You know, I had several people ignore me in Walmart when I spoke to them. I would see a worker in Walmart and I would say, hey, Mabel, how you doing? And they walk on. Or I'd see someone else and say hi, and they would just walk on. And some of you said, well, that's just the northern people up here, they don't talk. We need to change that. There's a couple, 300 here today, maybe, and you can change this city. Start loving on people. I was told you I was volunteering in the church. I used to be a painter, a home repair guy, wallpaper, did all that. If it's a building, I can fix it, whatever it is. God has gifted me with that talent. That's my anointing, and I can fix things. And I love doing it. I love to paint. There are some of you that hate to paint, but I love paintbrush, getting the paint rolling. In our church, I was painting our church, the walls around the sanctuary at EMIC. And this guy came up, and I'd volunteered, and I was the evangelism leader at our church, not getting paid to do this. I was showing up every Friday night teaching classes on how to lead people to Jesus, like I did this weekend with y'all. And this guy comes up to me, and he says, Riley, I'm not called to do, that's cool what you do, but I'm not called to do that. I don't have the gift of evangelism. And I shared with him the scripture. I said, there is no gift of evangelism. It's all in there. And I said, I didn't argue. I just said, I appreciate you saying that, but there is no gift in the word that says that. And I said, why don't you just come out and you can walk with me this Friday night and we'll go out. And so he said, well, I'll pray about it. Well, he walked around and then he came back. He said, I'll go with you. I'll go with you one time. So he came that next Friday night. He went out with me and he led three people to the Lord that night. And he said, Riley, I will give you two more times. I'll give you three times. He came back, he led 15 or 20 that next Friday night. The third week, he led probably 30 or more that night. And the last I heard from him, he had talked to me after that. You know, he kept going with us. And he said, Riley, I'm called to preach. And he went to Rhema for 2 years. And now I think they're looking at pastoring a church. All because he thought he didn't have the gift of evangelism. We all have the gift of God on the inside of us. Amen. I used to be one of the shyest persons you would ever meet. I mean, I was so shy, I couldn't go into, I call them sit-down restaurants, where you sit and order your food. I was so shy because I was worried about what the family sitting next to me were thinking about me. And that was before cell phones, smartphones. Because you can go in now and you can go through your phone and act like you're busy reading things, right? You keep looking at your Facebook and all your email. Nobody's emailed you, but you keep flipping. And that was before all that. I was so shy, and I was so shy I could not go into Walmart or a grocery store. I was anxious about the lady telling me the price because I didn't want to talk to her. I couldn't. I didn't want her to tell me anything more than the price of what I owed her, or them, him, whoever. And so I was so shy, but I got into the Word, going through all the in Him scriptures, who I was in Him, and I had a heart for souls. And the Lord started using me, passing out tracts. And started passing out tracts, and there was this one guy I was driving. We drove for 2 years to our church. We lived in Gainesville, Texas, and the church is in Fort Worth. We drove for 2 years, an hour and a half, one way. And I went to the church one day to do something, and I was driving back, and this guy was standing on the side of the road. He had one of those "will work for food" signs, you know. And it had been raining, and I saw him down below. I was going on the overpass, and he was down on the exit. And the Lord said, talk to him. This is my first guy to talk to. And I'm like, I ain't talking to him. You know, and I kept driving. And I heard in my spirit, talk to him. And I ain't talking to him. He said it a second time. And then really strong, he said, I want you to talk to him. And I had gone 20 miles down the road before I was obedient. So I turned it around and I said, well, Lord, you better prepare him. You know, I got all bold then. You know, I finally wanted to obey. Then I got bold and told the Lord, well, you better prepare him. And he said, well, I want you to give him some money now. And so I only had $5 in my pocket. So I turned around, went down the underpass to where he was, and I rolled down the window. He was sopping wet, dripping wet. It had been raining. He was sniffling because he had a cold or something. And I had a little track, and all I could say to him was, is, sir, driving down the highway going home, the Lord told me to come stop, talk to you. I said, he told me to give you this money. He does not want you in the place you're in. You don't have to be in this place. God loves you. There's a prayer on the back of that card. You need to pray it. And that was the first guy that I had ever talked to, but I was obedient to what the Lord said. Amen. And I believe that guy got saved, and we will see him in heaven one day. But we are all called. Our responsibility, church, verse 12, is to equip you to do his work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, how do we do that? We do that in love. We do that. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? The power of God is the word of God. Go to Romans. Romans 1, verse 16, it says there, for I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Say, the word of God is the power of God. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah 55. It's the word. See, we have tried in the past to reason with people, and human reasoning doesn't work. It says there in Isaiah 55, verse 11, it is the same with my word. Say, my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. Everywhere you send his word, it's going to produce fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. And then look at Jeremiah chapter 1, a few pages to the right. It says, verse 12, And the Lord said, that's right, and it means that I'm watching, and I will certainly carry out all my plans. Me and Pastor Ed were in ShopRite, and the Lord had given us a word earlier in Walmart about the meat department, and there wasn't a meat department in that Walmart. But me and Pastor Ed were walking in the ShopRite, and I felt like the Lord wanted me and him to go to the meat department. And there's this silly joke I like to tell to all the meat department guys, and I felt like I should share this with this guy. And I asked for the head meat guy, and this lady said, well, he's the boss, and his name was John, and he had his name badge on his hat. And I said, hey, John, how are you? Good. I said, I have a joke for you. And he said, okay. I said, what do you call a cow with no legs? And he's like, I don't know. I said, seriously, you don't know? And he said, no, I don't know. I said, ground beef. I know, it's so bad. It's corny. It is so bad, I know. And so he laughed. He told me and Pastor Ed a joke. But then I began to ask him if he went to church anywhere. And he said, yeah, he had went to Catholic church when he was a kid. And I said, well, if you passed away today or down the road, not saying it would happen, where do you go? And I think he really didn't know, or he hoped he would go to heaven. He wasn't real sure about his salvation. So I shared the scriptures with him. I shared Romans 3 with him. All have sinned. Now, when you share the word of God in love, they get injected with the incorruptible seed. The Bible says we are born again by the incorruptible seed, the word of God. Now, if John would have said, hey guys, I'm working, I can't talk about this at work, he just got injected with the word of God that will not return void. God is watching over that word to perform it. But he kept letting me talk. He kept working. And I said, John, Romans 3 says all have sinned. He's working back and forth. Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He keeps working. He just got another injection. And faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing and hearing the word of God. So I'm continuing to give him the word of God. And then I said, hey, John, Romans 10 says, everyone that calls on the Lord will be saved. He just got a third injection with the word of God, the incorruptible seed that will not return void. And look at Hebrews chapter 4. This is so good. Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12, it says, for the word of God, say the word of God. Notice there it did not say Riley's personal testimony. Did you know my personal testimony will return void? And my personal testimony needs to be used for discipleship if the Lord would have you use that. Don't use your personal testimony for conversion, because if you only have a few minutes or a few seconds with them, you want to use the word of God that will not return void. It says the word of God is alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. Now, I told you all the other night that we're a threefold being, right? We are a spirit being, we have a soul, which is made up of our mind, will, and emotions, and then we live in a physical body. Well, when someone gets saved, what part of them gets recreated? Their spirit gets reborn, recreated. So when I walk up to someone, who am I going to start talking to? This guy? No, I'm going to talk to this guy. Because this guy, do y'all remember before you got saved, the guy on the inside kept saying, Riley, when are you going to stop doing this and go to church? Did y'all hear that voice on the inside? Riley, when are you going to give your life to God? Riley, when are you going to stop doing that? When are you going to start doing this? You know it's bad for you what you're doing. Did any of y'all hear that voice? Yeah. Amen. And so we live in a physical body, but it says there that the word of God is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes. He's the one whom we're accountable. The word of God discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. So while John kept working, and I kept quoting the word to him, the word was getting injected into his spirit. And I quoted Romans 10, John, everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Say this with me. And John repeated the prayer with me. Isn't that wonderful? At work. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your... Lean not to your own... See, we don't have to understand how that works. Riley, that seems so simple. Yes, it is. Because we're speaking to their spirit man. And when someone said one time, Riley, what about all those people that got, what about those 300 people that got saved this weekend? What if they go back to do what they've been doing? Well, thank you for saying that. Go to Romans. Romans chapter 12. See, the next thing that needs to happen is the person that gets born again, they need to be discipled. That's what we're here for. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and so, dear brothers and sisters, who's he talking to there? The church. I plead with you, he's talking to those people that have been reborn. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Like Pastor was saying earlier, the God of this world has blinded their eyes to the light. And when we speak the word of God to them, light gets injected into their bodies, into their spirit. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So there's enough faith for salvation when we give them the word of God in love. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Go to 1 Corinthians. And then I want to share a passage with you out of Luke. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or chapter 1, verse 18. It says, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Say the word of God, word of God. Is the power of God. And like I said the other night, did y'all know this is incorruptible seed, right? And the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but His word will remain, right? And then it says He magnifies His word above His name. So we need to speak His word to our friends, family members, co-workers. Amen? And then, like I said the other night, you see the black words on the white pages. There's enough power to bring itself to pass. All God is looking for is a mouthpiece. Because He's saying, if you'll speak my word out of your mouth, I will confirm it with a sign. Amen? There was a lady that prayed with someone who needed healing that got up out of a wheelchair yesterday. Isn't that wonderful? God, He told us if we would lay hands on the sick, they would recover. Go to Luke chapter 5. You can do this. It says Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. Say, great crowds. Notice they pressed in on him. They wanted to listen to the word of God. And I just shared with you, it will not return void. It will prosper where it's sent. Jesus said there in verse 2, it says, he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and they were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night, didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. At this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to break or they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now, I want to point out here, great crowds were pressing in on Jesus. And like I've told you this weekend, Jesus only did what he saw his Father do. He only said what he heard his Father say. So first of all, he was preaching on the Sea of Galilee. Why was he at the Sea of Galilee? His heavenly Father told him, go to the Sea of Galilee. The heavenly Father may tell y'all today to go eat at Golden Corral, or go eat at Houston's, or go eat at McDonald's. He may tell you where to go at lunch. We need to go. Amen. Great crowds were pressing in on him to listen to the word of God. So Jesus was at the Sea of Galilee. All these people were pressing in on him, and he was moved with compassion because he knew what the word of God could do in that person's life. And so in his spirit, he was saying, God, how am I going to reach all these people? I've been at Disneyland before, big amusement parks, and see all these people. And I'm like, God, we have to reach all these people. You know, your heart just gets, why can't all these people be coming to a religious event or a church? Or, God, we've got to reach all these people. And so Jesus was having that compassion fill him, and the Heavenly Father said, There's two boats. Go get in them. So it said there, as stepping into the one of the boats, he told Peter to push out further so he could talk to the people. He got into Peter's business. He got into his occupation. He was a fisherman. So it would be like me coming to your restaurant today or coming to your job. Maybe you're an electrician, or it would be like Jesus saying, hey, I want to use you today. I want to use your business to catch people today. You may be a doctor, and we have a doctor that used to come out with us and do evangelism. And you know how doctors ask all these questions? She put a little box on her questionnaire. At the end, she said, not saying this would happen, but if you died right now, do you believe you'd go to heaven? And they check yes or no. And so at the end of her consultation or whatever, she'll say, yeah, I saw on your your questionnaire there, you said you weren't sure if you'd go to heaven. I want to pray with you. I'm a Christian. I want to pray with you. And she's led thousands to the Lord by doing that, because Jesus wants to get into your business. Amen? So Jesus wants to get into your boat today, and he wants to use you to reach the multitudes for him. Amen? And so as Peter, you could tell Peter was kind of hesitant. He said, but if you, he'd already washed his nets, right? And you've heard, those of you that are Brother Copeland's partners, you've heard that he took only one nasty old rotty net, and he wasn't able to catch all those fish. But look at this in verse 7. A shout for help brought their partners. I need your help this morning. I've taught you, trained you, equipped you, mobilized you to reach this county, this state, this area. Amen. I need help. You're my partners. You're our KCM partners. But I want you to partner with me in this soul winning. I need your help, because you see people I'll never see. I may or may not be back to this area for the rest of my life. I may never see you men and women again. I need your partnership to say, I'm going to be a soul winner. God, I'm going to wake up every morning and say, use me to be the miracle in someone's life. Whether it be a smile, or whether it be $5 to the guy who's asking for food, or the person behind you in the drive-thru, Holy Spirit says, buy their food. Do it. Or the Holy Spirit says, hey, we want you to join the teams they said this morning. Or he says, hey, buy that policeman's lunch today. Or put new tires on your daughter's car. Or lead that person to Jesus. Go in ShopRite and talk to every employee. When we were in ShopRite yesterday, 6 employees received Jesus. I just started talking to the employees because I knew we were going to be in and out, and they couldn't ask me to leave because we were buying stuff. We were a customer. We weren't soliciting. Amen. I didn't see that soliciting sign when I walked in. And I'm not soliciting, I'm a customer. But 6 employees received Jesus while we were in there for less than 20 minutes. I need your partnership. You guys and ladies fish in a pond that I don't fish in. And I need you to take this and run with it, because people are dying and this world needs Jesus. All the things that are happening, you've seen on the news, those people need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. The way to fix those problems, they need Jesus. Jesus is the answer. He is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And he brings the light to the darkness. Amen? And we have to go. Would you say you'd partner with me? Amen? And then it says in verse 9, he was awestruck by the number of fish he had caught. I was a little awestruck yesterday, I'll be honest with y'all. You ladies and men that went out with us, you kept bringing me all those cards of people who got saved, all the names, and you just kept bringing them. And I was a little overwhelmed by the response. I mean, normally, when I go out, we'll see maybe 100 in churches. 100's awesome. When we do conventions, we will see, when we do conventions with Brother Copeland, we'll see 200 or 300 saved a day. And that's good. But yesterday, I was awestruck by the number of fish that were caught. And I want this church to be awestruck by the number of fish that were caught. Amen? And like I said the other night, if you need money, win souls. Amen? Amen? If you need money, use the time. Maybe you don't have a job today. You're free. Go out and win souls. Start knocking on doors around the church. Start, ask the Lord where you should go. I told y'all I used to be a painter, And I asked the Lord where I should go. And I remember 9/11 happened. And I went to get a hamburger at Sonic. Do y'all have Sonics here, up here? Yeah. So I went to get a lunch at Sonic. I was working. And this car hop came out, and she was just freaked out about, this was a few months after it, and she was freaked out about 9/11, you know, the tower, I think everybody was. And she was like, you know, that's crazy what happened in New York and this and that. And I said, well, ma'am, if you died right now, not saying it would happen, where would you go? And she started crying. She didn't know. And then she received Jesus. And so we have to be led where to go. Then once we go there, just like Jesus, it said there he was at the Sea of Galilee. Well, Heavenly Father told him to go there. So as he went, then God showed him the people he needed to talk to. And then as he was obedient, he saw the multitudes hear the word of God, receive it. Amen. Will you partner with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I need your partnership in this soul winning. I'm not asking for money this morning, but I'm asking you to make a commitment to win the lost. You say, well, Riley, I'm shy. Well, I used to be shy. And the word of God will give you boldness. But there may be some in here today, and you'd say, well, Riley, I'm not on fire for God. I want to be. That's where it starts, is you need to make a decision to say, Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll go wherever you tell me to go, and I'll say whatever you tell me to say. If that's you and you say, Riley, I'm not on fire for God, I want to be, raise your hand. Thank you, sir. You can raise it up, put it down. Thank you. Raise your hand up. You say, I want to be on fire for God. I am a Christian. I'm not asking you to get saved, but I'm asking you to make a recommitment this morning. No one's looking around. Anyone else? Thank you, ma'am, for being honest. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. I'm not going to ask you to walk to the front. This is just personal. Thank you, sir. This is just personal between you and him. I used to be a closet Christian. And I would go to work and the guys would be doing all they were doing and I would join in with them. And when they'd start talking about those holy rollers, I would walk off because I wasn't able to share my faith. Well, I was a lukewarm Christian. And you know what Jesus said about that? I don't want to be vomit in my Savior's mouth. I want to be, when I stand in front of my Savior, I want well done to be flashing over my head, not lukewarm. Amen? So if that's you, I want to thank you, ma'am. If that's you, I want to say a prayer for you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. You can put it back down. Amen. We have to be on fire for God. It's time to quit playing church. Amen. Rise up and be who God's called you to be. Amen. Everybody stand to your feet. And let's all say this. And don't say it because I'm telling you to say it. Say it because you mean it from the bottom of your heart. Heavenly Father, anything that's kept me from you, I lay it down today. I give you my life. I want Jesus Christ to come into my life, into my heart. I rededicate myself to you 100%. I'll go where you tell me to go. I'll say what you tell me to say. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Will y'all give God praise this morning? Thank you, Lord. Pastor.